Hello everybody, it's me, it's Poetro HD, and welcome back to some more of the Dragalia Lost and Found podcast. This is episode number 4. Time really flies by. I can't believe it's already episode number 4. I remember when we started this like it was yesterday. But anyways, I'm not alone. I'm joined by the one and the only Living Like Log.
Hello everybody, pleasure to be back as always. Trip, how's it been? How's your Dragalia Lost experience been the past couple weeks?
Been pretty good. You know, I've been grinding out Mercurial Gauntlet, the new light Mercurial Gauntlets, training up so many units. I 50 noted like 4 different units for this new Mercurial Gauntlet, and I still have not gotten the clear.
Dude, yeah,
we'll talk about that a little bit later.
I had about 360,000 elb water. Dude, now I'm at like 100.
Oh my god, that hurts me. But yeah, I've basically spent like 100,000 elb water as well, and I still haven't gotten the clear. It hurts my soul. And I built so many weapons, but it's okay. We'll talk about that later. We'll talk about my pain with that a little bit later. What else have you been up to?
I finally got some good grinding time on High Jupiter. I feel like pubs are a lot more experienced nowadays compared to when it first came out. So I've been able to actually grind some High Jupiter orbs and upgrade my facility a little bit. That's been good.
Yeah, I'm actually really liking the progression with players in Dragalia Lost. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, in High Dragon Trials in specific, like, I remember High Brunhilde, the very first days of, like, maybe the first month High Brunhilde, pubs were terrible. But recently, I played High Brunhilde pub, I believe, like, last week or 2 weeks ago, just to try it out, and we pretty much got the clear the first attempt. I had to go after 2, and I'm sure we could have cleared that pretty easily. So I'm actually really liking the way that everyone's progressing in Dragalia Lost as a whole, like, as a community. I think it's actually really cool. I don't know if they're, like, looking up guides or something, but I actually really like how the whole community is progressing. I think it's really nice.
It's gotten to the point where High Dragon Trials are kind of more, I don't know, I feel like I can do them a little bit more casually now. Like, I don't have to be all hardcore about it. Like, back
in
the day.
Yeah, I remember the first days of HMS too. Oh boy.
Yeah, back in the day, like, you had to be laser focused. Now I can just queue up a High Brunhilde or High Mercury and just kind of relax about it. You know, it's fun.
Yeah, just kind of like speed through it, specifically for High Jupiter, the Gleo speed strat.
Oh, I love it. It makes it
like easy. Anyways, that's enough talking about that. Let's discuss actually in the next week's episode. I know we're discussing next week's podcast episode in this week, but specifically next week, it's actually going to be a special edition of the podcast since it is, as you know, Dragalia Lost's first anniversary. Like I did say, it was going to be next week rather than 2 weeks from now because we do want to get it out sometime near the anniversary. And it's going to be a special episode where, drum roll please, Log, you want to introduce it? Drum roll.
We're going to be having, for the first time in the Dragalia Lost and Found history, we're going to be having a special guest joining us for the anniversary episode.
Yes, it's going to be a ton of fun. It's going to be the first time we've ever had a guest on the show, and hopefully it's going to go well. Hopefully we can get the guest on if our schedules will align, but it is looking like someone will be joining us, so I hope you are looking forward to that. And who's it going to be? That's going to be a surprise for now, right? Surprise.
Exactly, and you're going to be able to see that one on my channel next Friday, just in time for the anniversary. So yeah, hopefully you guys look forward to that. But we've got quite the show for you guys today. Despite it being classified as kind of a slower period, there were still a lot of announcements and a lot of new additions to Dragalia Lost. So we have quite a lot to cover. And Trip, do you want to start with the first topic?
Yeah, let's just hop right into the news. So first and foremost, we had the... was it called Fortune from Afar? I think was that what it's called? No, that was not Fortune from Afar. Whatever the raid event was called.
Skyborn Spectacle.
Yeah. That's the one with Su Feng, the Firework Boy, and then also a brand new summon showcase, the Skyborn Spectacle Showcase The Windswept Warrior Showcase with some crazy units. We're not really going to talk about the event since the event itself was just a rerun. Not really any new information specifically in the event, but for the Windswept Warriors Showcase, Log, introduce the first unit.
This big, juicy, beefy Morpheus-looking dude, Victor. So he's the first unit, the featured 5-star adventurer of Windswept Warriors. He is a 5-star Wind Blade unit, and he's got to be probably the best just straight attacking wind unit in the game.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Featuring some of the highest DPS in the game, he has access to not only the incredibly powerful bleed effect, but also has some awesome supportive type of utility with shields, water resistant buffs, and knockback immunity for the entire team. So he's got a lot of tools in his kit, and I quite enjoy him. What do you think, Trip?
Yeah, he's actually insanely good. Like you were saying, Windblade, his competition for Windblade is not light. He has Addis and Musashi, and of course, Addis is the main competition. Addis also inflicts bleed, and he was the highest Wind DPS until Victor, until Morpheus, our boy Morpheus with the pillows, came around and knocked Addis down. It's because mainly, of course, Victor's skill 1 includes no gimmick, as Log, I'm sure, knows through his summoning. His skill 1 is insanely strong. It inflicts bleed. It does so many other effects too. The main thing is that it inflicts bleed. Bleed is insanely strong, and it requires no gimmick. You know, the other bleed users in the game, mainly, you know, Addis and Eyasu. Eyasu's first skill, which inflicts bleed, takes a long time to get off, whereas Addis' skill 1 that inflicts bleed needs a buff to make it actually inflict bleed, where Victor needs nothing. He just inflicts bleed. And I feel like that's the main thing that contributes to him being so strong in DPS, as well as, of course, his abilities. Strength plus 13% stacks on top of a skill damage dragon very nicely. Overall, Morpheus is just insanely strong.
Yeah, and I personally got him myself. I guess we could talk about our summons for this banner now. Kind of introduced it, but I did 25,000 Wurmite summon video on my channel. It was painful. It was disgusting. I hated every aspect of it. Go check it out if you want to watch me suffer.
Yeah, it hurt me to watch, so be warned. It hurts.
I did get a Victor near the very end. I also got a bunch of disgusting pity breaks, like Lin Yu copies, some awful, like, dragon dupes and just gross stuff. What did you get from this banner, Trip, if you did summon?
Yeah, so I did summon a little bit as well. I didn't get, I wouldn't say, as unlucky as you, because 25,000 Wurmite is a lot of Wurmite. That's like 2 months worth of Wurmite that I think we get as, you know, free-to-play players, if you are a free-to-play player. So that's a lot of Wurmite. That's a lot of saving that went down the drain. But it's not really down the drain because you did get Victor in the end. But myself, I did about 6 tenfolds, which is nowhere near enough. But I only pulled, I think, 3 5-stars, and that's dupe Mikoto, a dupe Lily, and a dupe Lin Yu. So I didn't really pull too much that was worth it. But again, Eldwater is very nice. So overall, I would say that my luck wasn't terrible with the banner, but compared to Logs, at least.
It was slightly better than my awful luck.
Yeah, slightly better. Just a little bit. Anyways, the other unit on this showcase that was a real gem is actually a 4-star unit. So, Log, you want to talk about her?
Yeah, I did a full unit review of her. Noelle, the Meek Messenger. I love this unit. Not only is she a total cutie with freaking adorable looking hat that I really want a copy of, but she is an absolute machine in terms of buffing. She is a true buff bot with her first skill, Best Regards. It's a 25% team-wide strength buff for 15 seconds. Keep in mind, this is only for wind-attuned adventurers, so you are limited by that. But I mean, still, a buff of that potency is nothing to be messed with. And she also comes with some interesting utility with some buff time as an ability and primed defense, meaning you can give access to like strength double buff or imprint and stuff like that. So she's a complete package and was honestly the star of this banner, in my opinion. What
yeah,
do you
and
think?
She's so easy to obtain as well, being a 4-star unit. She's pretty much easily obtainable, not even on this banner, on off banners. You can probably summon her during a gala or whatever pretty easily since she is a 4-star. And again, the reason she's so good is because her buffing skill is on her skill 1. Another thing with skill 1, skill 1 is the skill you're going to get off most frequently throughout a battle. So having a buff on your skill 1 makes your DPS skyrocket, because again, team-wide DPS will skyrocket. But you do have to keep in mind, this is, of course, only for wind adventurers, so I feel like that's kind of in tune with Galacleo. And I say in tune, I feel like it's kind of in regards to Galacleo, since we all know Galacleo is ridiculously good. I feel like they're going to start making a bunch of buffs specifically for their certain element, like wind or flame or whatever. We have already been seeing that a little bit, so yeah, that's all I really have to say about Noelle.
Yeah, she's a great unit. Hopefully you picked her up because she was on, you know, on focus, and she was a pretty easy pickup. But moving on, the last featured unit on this showcase was Vayu, a 5-star skill damage wind dragon featuring strength plus 20% and skill damage plus 90%. He is an amazing dragon and is by far the best wind dragon in the game now.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. He follows the trend with, again, skill damage dragons being the best dragons for their respective elements. And again, wind skill damage plus 90%, plus 90% continuing from that buff. It's just ridiculous. Like, I don't know how another dragon will be able to beat these skill damage dragons when it comes to DPS. We do kind of have dragons which are a close second, being, you know, elements obtuned, you know, Pazuzu for poison and wind, and, you know, Apollo, which is recently released for flame and burn. We do have those, but even then, they just don't really compare, because this, you don't need any affliction, anything, to have this huge buff on your adventure. And again, skill damage plus 90% stacks so well with bleed units like Addis and Morpheus, which we did just get in this banner. So this banner was honestly one of the best banners we've had in a long time. We've had Morpheus, we had a Russian lolly mailman, or mail girl, and then we've had a skill damage dragon. It was an insane banner.
Yeah, great banner all around. I'm not too unhappy that I summoned on it. Of course, we're really close to anniversary, so maybe I shouldn't have, but I did get what I want. But overall, not a bad banner at all. Unfortunately, it was paired with a pretty mediocre rerun, in my opinion, but overall, kind of balances out. And after that, we ended up getting some new Void Battles. Do you want to talk about those real quick? There you go.
New Void Battles. I actually really like the Void Battles, but recently they've been doing pretty, not doing, but they've been pretty easy as Void Battles. Like, Void Jean was really, really easy. You could easily auto it, and I would say this, well, I wouldn't say auto it, but you know what I mean. You don't really have to pay attention when you're playing online. You can actually auto it if you do solo, so it's actually pretty easy. And then the new Void Battles we've had this month were Nidhogg and Kato Blipapas, whatever, Anamanos. I don't even know how to say that thing. How do you say that? Kato Blipas?
Katobble Pass Anemos, I think.
Katobble Pass? It sounds like a Pokemon, but yeah. So, Katobble Pass Anemos.
It's the evolution of Nose Pass, Katobble Pass.
Yeah, the brand new. It's the Galarian form of Nose Pass. So, he's in the game, and it's actually a pretty interesting fight for him in specific. I want to talk about him before Nidhogg, because, you know, Nidhogg's like the main event. He's actually a pretty interesting fight. He, like, freezes you in place like stone, which I don't think we've seen before, and I think it's actually really cool. It's different from, you know, Zodiarc's, where he traps you in a cage. He just, like, straight up freezes you, and you turn into stone, which kind of reminds me of, like, Medusa-ish, but his design is like a boar. I believe he's based off of some sort of weird bow, boar or something. So it's actually a really interesting fight, and I hope they kind of add this mechanic in future fights in the game. Who knows if they will? I mean, we have no idea what Cygames is thinking. As you guys probably know by now, nobody can predict Cygames, but yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on Cattle Nose Pass, whatever.
Yeah, I think Petrification is a pretty cool status element, and I'd like to see it utilized in more higher tier fights. Of course, Void Battles are the link between Imperial Onslaughts and High Dragon Trials. They're kind of that middle ground. So I do think it, you know, it does its job, but such a unique mechanic shouldn't be just locked down to such a low tier fight, in my opinion.
Yeah, completely agreed. Completely agreed.
And then the other one was Void Nidhogg, and he's a lot more interesting than Anemos here, being kind of the Void Jean d'Arc, the Void Agni of the Shadow Element. And his fight, although it's also pretty simple and it's pretty easy to cheese, it has a lot of like visual fanfare that I quite enjoyed. What do you think, Trip?
Yeah, it looks beautiful as a fight, and it's a nice introduction, I would say, to High Zodiarc, which we will discuss a little bit later. It kind of has some of the same mechanics to the fight. I wouldn't say a lot of things are very similar, because, you know, Zodiarc is just a really interesting boss fight. But he does bring some mechanics, like the blow up. That thing is really cool. The blow up, I don't know what it is, an attack or whatever. That's really cool. But overall, the fight itself is pretty easy, you know, especially if you're playing online. There is a mechanic in the fight which makes you do much less damage, which, again, I think has been featured before. I do think it's nice, though. It makes you kind of have to build something for Void Nidhogg. But even then, you don't need to do it. It's pretty easy without even building it, right?
Oh yeah, you don't have to, as long as you just like don't get hit. I personally built it because I just wanted that safeguard. I wanted to be able to just auto it easier. And I honestly think it's a pretty easy fight. I do think speedrunning it is pretty tough. We really haven't talked about like the Void epithets yet. Have you gotten any, or gotten all of them for these two fights yet?
I haven't gotten the one for Cattle Nose Pass. I don't know. Cattle Nose Pass. I'm just going to call it Cattle Nose Pass. I haven't gotten that one yet, but I did get the one for Void Nidhogg. I actually actively tried to get it. I play basically, if you want to get this Void one, yeah, it's pretty easy. You just need to play with four Alberts. If you have Albert, it's easy. So play with four Alberts and you just break him insanely fast. That's pretty much how I did it.
Pretty much. I did it with three Alberts and then... what's her name? The Light Lance? The Circus Lady?
Circus Lady, Annalie.
Annalie, yeah. Annalie stunned him, and then us Alberts went to town and just
Oh, yeah. Stun is actually really nice for this fight because you just freeze him once he walks to the middle and DPS on him. I believe Beautician, Zard, and Annalie, both really good for that.
Exactly. So those are our impressions on the Void battles. I'm glad we got some new Void Endeavors as well. It allowed me to... I already previously max and bound my gold Fafnirs. Now I max and bounded my silver Fafnirs, which I'll never need ever because I have so much mana. But, you know, it's a cool little trophy, I suppose.
Yeah, and speaking of mana, there's actually some new epithets for... I believe it's supposed to be for newer players, but older players get them as well, which is pretty funny. There's actually a lot of mana. There's Eldwater and 1200 Wurmite. The most important thing, though, Eldwater. Eldwater is juicy. They give out so much Eldwater from them. I think it's like around 50,000 Eldwater just from completing those epithets, which is insane.
Yeah, those should be out by the time you're watching this, guys, but you can get 50,000 Eldwater by just doing some really... easy tasks like completing your dailies like that you would do normally. So definitely go do those. It's for the upcoming anniversary celebration, which we'll talk more about later in the show. But
yeah, we're getting ahead of myself.
But yeah, no, side games, they've been, although it feels like a slow time because the lack of events, we have been getting like good content, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's been like, it's been big content that's been being released, like High Zodiarc, Chapter 10, these, well, I want to say these two banners, but one banner in specific being Windswept Warriors, other banners kind of meh, but we've been getting, you know, I want to say a lot, but big content that has been released, so I do agree.
Yeah, and moving on, you know, you just mentioned it, Chapter 10, let's talk about Chapter 10. Guys, spoilers for Chapter 10, if you haven't already seen it, there should be, we do timestamps, so you should be able to skip ahead. This will take a little bit of a chunk of the show up, but tell me, what do you think of Chapter 10 and just the entire, the weight that it brings to Dragaea Lost?
Again, if you haven't played Chapter 10, what are you doing? Go play Chapter 10 right now. It's actually really good. Again, if you haven't played, please skip in the timestamp thing. I don't want to spoil anything because it was actually a really nice chapter in my opinion. A lot of people don't really like the story in Dragaea Lost, or they skip through the main story. I don't know what you do, Log. I personally really like the story, though.
Oh, I do too. Definitely.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, and we haven't really had anything. I want to say we, but like there hasn't really been a story that follows Dragaea Lost so, you know, closely as it goes through. You know, there's like a traitor thing, and all of a sudden everyone's against you, et cetera, dragons, all this stuff. There's so much lore in Dragaea Lost as well. I find it so interesting, and they have so much potential with what they can do. You know, especially potential for an anime. Wink, wink. Come on, Psygames, you foldable anime. When is that coming? Please. Please.
That'd be so sick.
That'd be amazing. I believe Ufotable has already done the intro animation for Dragaea Lost, but I don't know if that's Ufotable for sure, but it looks amazing. Whoever did that, you know, get them to do an anime. But yeah, Chapter 10. I don't know what I was talking about. Chapter 10. Oh boy. It was basically like a flashback chapter. If you actually think about it, it's pretty much a flashback chapter. And then with a little bit of new information kind of towards the end, you know, Mor Sayadi gathered everyone together. I say everyone, gathered everyone important in, everyone important in the story together. And basically, he didn't reveal it himself, but I believe there was like statues or something in the, what was the area called? I don't remember what the area was called where he gathered everybody. I don't know if you remember, Log.
So that was, I don't remember the specific name, I'm awful at names. Yeah. But it was the area where originally Aurelius and Mortiardi fought, remember? Like, that's how they found all, like, the flashbacks and stuff. So they gathered them there. They gathered all of the siblings, all of them put together, and essentially he was going to recruit them all, right?
Yeah, he tried to recruit them, get them all to his side, and that's kind of something towards the end. The main thing that the chapter was showing off was how the fight with Aurelius versus Mor Sayadi actually went. because we didn't really know any details about it. We just know, hey, Aurelius beat Morciati. He beat the bad guy, and then everything's fine and good. But that actually wasn't the case. Aurelius didn't really beat Morciati. He just kind of sealed him away, and he sealed him away in his blood, which was kind of crazy to think about. He kind of, you know, placed his hopes on sealing away Morciati in his children and in, you know, in the future generations, which I think that's a lot of faith. He must have had a lot of faith in the future generations to do that. But even when he did that, he didn't completely get rid of Morciati. There's still fragments of him around, etc., etc. We do also remember that he transformed into Sithonius and to seal up Morciati. This was kind of towards the end of the flashbacks. He did that to kind of seal up Morciati. And even then, like I said, he didn't completely seal up Morciati. That was when he returned back to the place. I can't remember the place's name, but that was when he returned back, transformed to Sithonius. We finally had confirmation on what happened to Sithonius, because that was kind of just a big enigma until this chapter. And his design, oh boy, his design is amazing.
Oh yeah, you talk about, what's his name? Chthonius, is that what we're saying?
Yeah, something like that, I don't know.
Something like that. It's like Chthonius, Chthonius, however you want to say it. His design is really rad, and I was hoping we'd actually get to, like, have him as a free unit.
I wish.
You know, they sometimes give, like, free adventurers. If they gave us a free dragon instead, hey, that'd be pretty cool.
And he's an awesome dragon.
But, unfortunately, yeah, he is. Unfortunately, no. And it was, honestly, this was probably the most emotional chapter for me, especially involving Cleo, and I know you're a big Cleo fan, right? Mm-hmm.
Cleo is my best girl, officially. It used to be Ellie, but I think she's kicked out.
You've officially... Ellie's just kind of bland lately, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Cleo's definitely got some character development.
Yeah, she's got a lot of characterization, especially in this chapter with, you know, the way she talked with Aurelius in specific, so I really do like that.
No, especially with all the freaking alts she gets.
Oh, yeah. All the alts, all the events.
She better have some characterization if she's getting all those alts. Jeez.
Right?
But, so Sithonius? That was pretty much it. For Chthonius is, isn't it like, I'm so confused.
I think he's going to be released in the future, but like, he dead. I don't know how he's going to be released.
That's what I was going to say. Like, we should fight him, but we might fight like his will or something like that. I don't know if you're like a Kingdom Hearts fan at all, but maybe like his like lingering will or something like that, where you just fight like the ghost or like just the soul of him instead. I could totally see Dragalia doing something.
So
like
I haven't played Kingdom Hearts, but that actually sounds really cool. I would like that a lot, because I don't know. I feel like I don't know what they're gonna do with Sithonius, because he's dead now, but like he could have such a bigger role in the story. I don't know if there's gonna be some sort of time travel or something in Dragalia Lost. Who really knows? But Sithonius could be like a sixth element, and I feel like they miss so much potential by not keeping him alive. Or maybe he is alive. I mean, who knows? Maybe in the future story chapters, they're going to bring him back or something. I don't know. But I feel like they missed out so much potential with Sithonius. But yeah, so Sithonius' design is amazing. Even when he was taken over by Morciati, I say taken over, he wasn't really taken over. He was like infected or something with Morciati. His design looked amazing. It was impeccable. Like, it was ridiculous.
Impeccable design.
Impeccable design. It is so beautiful. And then also the main thing we want to say, Aurelius is also dead, that Galayudin might happen. Maybe? I don't know. His design at the end of the chapter looked amazing.
Oh, yeah. No, and he had the slick back hair, right?
The slick back hair. He looks like Aurelius. He really does. I love it. It was beautiful.
I love it, yeah. And right after that, we got the preview for chapter 11. Androids. Dragon Ball Z, what?
Androids, like, I don't know how many genres we're going to cover in this game. We're turning into androids now. We're going to go Super Saiyan soon. I think we just went Super Saiyan, actually, with Yuden. But it's going to be an interesting chapter. Looking at the two androids' design, they actually, can't really tell what weapon they are. One of them's holding, like, it kind of looks like a blade, but it could be, like, a gun or something. They might make a new weapon. Who really knows? Because she's kind of holding it on her shoulder. So it's really weird. It's really interesting. But I'm looking forward to this chapter. Maybe we're going to be able to summon these androids. Who really knows? But again, the main message from chapter 10 is that Yuden doesn't really care about the people. The main thing he cares about is Zethia, which is kind of weird. It threw me for a loop.
I don't take it as that. I just take it as he's not someone looking to do the greater good. He's looking to do what's best for
his family.
Like, he's trying to help everyone. He's trying to help literally everyone. And if someone's not happy, he will do whatever it takes to stop that. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, I see that. He wants to save everyone, not just majority people. He wants everyone to be saved. I can see that as well. That makes a lot more sense.
Right. He thinks that if one person needs to sacrifice themselves in order to make everyone happy, he will not accept that.
I can see that also. And I feel like if anyone's going to have to sacrifice himself, it's going to be him. He won't let it be anyone else. Like, he's like, take
right,
me.
Right, no, he's definitely more of a self-sacrificing person, for sure.
Yeah, so I'm really interested to see how the future of the story is going to go. This is looking like the end of the first arc.
Oh, for sure, yeah. This is the end. And I do hope, and you know, we'll talk more about this later, but I do hope for anniversary, maybe they give us that new design for Yuden. Maybe they give everyone a permanent costume change. They upgrade their current Yuden, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like a costume change, or even not a costume change, maybe like a promotion in the unit.
Right, no.
Like, if you played games like Fire Emblem, etc., there's a lot of games that do promotions. Yeah, there's like promotions in Fire Emblem, like FGO, MASH gets, spoilers, MASH gets promoted. I don't know if that's really spoilers, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something that they could do, maybe give us a special material that allows us to upgrade his design. I don't know, just some thinking, or they could just Gala Yuden it, who knows, but I do think that's a pretty
cool.
Yeah,
I would love to summon for myself.
Exactly. So that's Chapter 10, our impressions and everything like that. Along with Chapter 10, we also got, I believe this started on the exact same day that Chapter 10 came out, we got the new banner, Knights of Glory, which, despite being a cool-looking banner at first glance, was actually more underwhelming compared to Windswept Warriors, in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree. Leia looked great at first, but let's actually discuss Leia. So Leia's an attacking unit with two skills, first being Road to Glory, which deals damage and inflicts burn, and second being Flora Revolution, which again deals damage and deals more damage the lower your HP is. And first of all, inflicts burn. Second of all, she has that Fjorm skill. It sounds amazing. Like, oh yes, tell me more. What else does she have? And then her abilities, she has Force Strike plus 50%, Stun Resistance, and then Striking Haste. So Striking Haste is pretty bad, if you don't know. It's one of the worst abilities out there. But Force Strike plus 50% is strong. You know, Xander and Albert have that. They're both amazing. Her skill 2, like Fjorm, really good. Her skill 1, Burns. She sounds like the whole package. But Log, you want to tell them what's wrong with her?
Yeah, so are we talking about Leia, for example? I think that Leia is... Yeah. She tries to take elements of all of these adventurers, but half-asses it in a way. I think Cygames was trying to make the fire version of Fjorm, Xander, and then throw in burning capabilities as well. They were trying to make a character like that, but they didn't really understand what made Fjorm so good in the first place. And skill 2, Flora Revolution, it's only one aspect that makes Fjorm's Ice Mirror good. Fjorm also has 100% skill prep that allows her to use it at the start of the battle to deflect that first dragon attack in High Dragon Trials, and High Brunhilde specifically. But she also has her Fire Emblem exclusive, I think it's called like Last Burst, something like that, but it gives a 30% attack buff, which is extremely useful in dealing a ton of damage with her Ice Mirror. So they didn't really do that with Leia. And I do think she's still a good unit. She's definitely not bad. She has a lot of different tools in her kits, but unfortunately, she's just a little too broad to be considered one of the best or the best flame sword in the game.
Yeah, basically whatever Log said, agreed, times 10, whatever he said. She does way too much, and she doesn't do anything amazing. She's like a jack of all trades. The only thing she really does amazing is she breaks fast.
She does break fast. Right?
She just breaks fast.
Jack of all trades, master of none, and unfortunately, she's just not that good. Hey, I made a full unit review on my channel. Plug. Go check that out.
You just gave the full unit review right now.
I just gave the TLDR, but if you want even more, there you go. But moving on, we got another highlight. I think the best part of this banner, and she's very similar to Noelle. She's just Noelle, but on fire. It is Emma. So Emma is a 4-star Flame Lance unit who, despite looking like a complete waifu and looking like a complete, I don't know, just...
A whole snack.
A whole snack. She's a
I believe that's the term.
She's a very dangerous girl. She will kill you. She's got insanely good support with her skill 1, another 25% strength buff for the entire team for 15 seconds. She has a skill 2, which is a defense buff, which I love so much because that gives access to strength double buff. You know who likes strength double buff? Ramona. And Ramona is literally the best or one of the best flame DPS units in the game. I love her so much.
Yeah, it just makes her even better. Emma is literally a perfect slot in to every single flame team out there. You don't need any afflictions, nothing. You just throw her on the team.
Exactly.
Every single flame team she can slide in. She's so good.
And
it's ridiculous. She's so good.
Primed strength, which is just fantastic. You put her on a team, let her be the AI. You control a main DPS flame unit with a quick charging skill 1. Just go to town. Like, oh, it's so much fun.
Yeah, and she's actually her and Leia were both on the Wormprint Flower in the Fray. I believe it's that one, right?
Yeah, Flower in the Fray.
They're both on that Wormprint. Yeah, Flower in the Fray. So they're both on that Wormprint. So we're getting the adventures that were on Wormprints that we didn't previously have. I believe there's still a couple more. There was like some, I don't know if it was like a mage or a nurse lady with white hair. And there's also Fort. When is Fort going to be in the game? Fort. Side games, please. Where is Fort?
One of these days.
One day.
Exactly.
One of these days. Also, there's a data mine dragon, you know, Shadow Dragon. I'm not going to say her name just because spoilers. Even though I spoiled so much already. But yeah, we're probably both going to be on the same banner together. Who knows?
Oh, dude. My Wormite stash would be gone. But speaking of more Wormite stashes being gone, you might have wanted to summon on this banner for Apollo. He's a new flame 5-star dragon, with his big thing being 50% strength and 20% Burning Punisher. Now, with the recent affliction changes, dragons like Apollo and Pazuzu, by extension, are really good because Burn and Poison are just fantastic status ailments now, because not only do they stack, but Mercurial Gauntlet, Roy has a 0% resistance to these two ailments, so you're able to do a lot of shenanigans with Apollo.
Yeah, Apollo is actually really good. He actually competes with Cerberus in terms of DPS. His skill is also pretty darn good, for a flame inflict, you know, flame boosting dragon. He inflicts flame and he reduces defense, so he's really good. I believe he competes with Cerberus and is better than Cerberus for flaming teams, and even then he competes with Konan Asakia in terms of DPS. He's of course not as good as her for just normal teams, but he does actually provide competition for her, which I do like. We talked about this a little earlier, you know. Skill damage dragons are just way too good. They're just too strong. But Apollo himself is actually very good, specifically for flame teams, you know, burning teams. For Valentine's Ezolith, he is an insanely good slot in. As we know, Valentine's Ezolith is a great component to a lot of Mercurial Gauntlet clears because of burn and elegant escorts. And yeah, Apollo overall is just really good.
Yeah, solid dragon overall. And another highlight of this banner, I think Emba is the number one definitive pick, then Apollo, and then Leia, unfortunately, despite being the 5-star adventure, she just was a little bit more underwhelming, unfortunately.
Yeah, she's a little lackluster. But again, the 4-stars on these recent banners have been really, really good. So I'm actually excited for the future of Dragalia Lost, where 4-stars are better than 5-stars. Because as you know, 4-stars are much easier to get. So I'm happy with that.
Now,
honestly,
about our personal summons for this banner. What did you, if you did like dailies or anything like that, did you get anything?
Yeah, so I summoned a little bit on this banner. Other than the dailies, I actually did, I did 40 summon tickets worth
Whoa.
Of summoning. 40 summon tickets plus all the dailies, which is already like 14 summons, right? So you might be saying, wow, 40 summons. How many 5-stars did you get, Trip? How many 5-stars did you get? Well, Johnny, or whatever your name is, I got 1 5-star.
Woo!
I got 1 5-star. I actually just wanted to break my pity. So I was like, hey, let me throw like 10 single tickets to break my pity,
because
I wouldn't
starts.
Mind Apollo. Yeah, that's how it starts. That's how they get you. That's how they get your money. So I did. I was just kept on summoning, and then I didn't get a 5-star. And I realized, hold on, I've spent like 30 tickets already. Where's my 5-star? And then I just kept going, and finally I pulled. Who did I pull as my 5-star? Drum roll. Of course I pulled a banner unit. No, I pulled Cerberus. But again, Cerberus is good, so I'm not too mad about that.
Oh, that's not bad. I mean, you probably already had a max and bound one, right?
No, I only had I don't think I had any unbinds on servers actually, but I got another unbind on her.
Well, that's not
so
bad.
So yay.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
I did pull more 5-stars overall, but I think my 5-stars were worse in comparison. I pulled 2 5-stars in a row with daily deals. It was so weird.
In a row.
I pulled a and this makes me so mad, because when I summoned for Victor in Windswept Ruins, I actually max unbounded this guy. Naturally. Throughout the start of the game, I was able to naturally max unbound him. And that's Poseidon. I got a max unbound Poseidon. No Dragonstones at all.
That hurts.
And then, next banner, just doing my daily deals, and I get another freaking Poseidon. So I now have one fully max unbound one, and then one just laying around, waiting to just get grinded up for that precious Eldwater. And let's see, what else did I get? I got a copy on my Liger. So, yeah. Two of some of the worst 5-stars in the game. Let's
yeah, that's re- that's really unfortunate, because, like I said, they're some of the worst 5-stars in the game, specifically because there's a free-to-play dragon that does the exact same thing, actually better. You know, Void Poseidon, or not Void Poseidon, regular Poseidon is just way worse than High Mercury. So, yeah. I feel your pain, though. I have both of them with some unbinds.
But that's pretty much it for Knights of Glory. Nothing too eventful happened during this banner, because there was no event tied with it. It was really just Chapter 10 and Void Battles.
Yep.
But moving on, we did get... We can talk about this really quickly. It was honestly not that important. But a new Astral Raid boss, Shishishimai.
Shishimai! That's how you pronounce it, I believe. It's okay.
This was honestly one of the more hyped up Astral Raids. We were... expected to get our ass beat, but actually, this was pretty simple.
It was pretty easy. Because as you know, shadow units are insanely overpowered.
I did a total of 3-1 runs. One was me just testing it out, and I actually got a deathless clear, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. My second one, I was helping some of my Discord members get a deathless clear, so that was pretty cool. And then my last run, I did my gold Fafnir run, and I was done. As simple as that.
Yeah, I actually forgot to do my gold Fafnir run for Astral Raid Shishimai. So that kind of sucks. But oh well. Live and learn. Maybe next Astral Raids. Actually, next Astral Raids I will. I made it. I've determined myself. Next Astral Raids, I will do my gold Fafnir run. But yeah, it was pretty easy. I'm kind of disappointed there was no summon tickets, though. Because, as you know, Shishimai is supposed to be the giver. But he did not give in this event. So that was super unfortunate. But it's okay. Maybe next time Shishimai comes around, we'll get some summon tickets. Overall, though, like I said, it's a pretty easy fight.
What's the Astral Raid for this weekend? Do you know? I know it's a rerun.
I think it was Hypnos.
Hypnos, yeah. I think that's him. So that should be fun. That was a pretty easy fight, if I remember. So, yeah. Should be a nice little weekend full of getting some augments. But moving on, the next big content, and this always is my most exciting aspect of Dragalia Lost since its introduction, and that is Mikril Gauntlet. We got light level 50. So personally really enjoy Mikril Gauntlet, but Trip, I want to hear your thoughts so far of this mode.
Yeah, so we're going to be discussing Mikril Gauntlet light level 50. And I said we're, I mean Log is going to be discussing Mikril Gauntlet light level 50. And I will be discussing Mikril Gauntlet light level 42. So
hey!
I haven't beaten Mikril Gauntlet. Yeah, I haven't beaten Mikril Gauntlet light yet. It's pretty tough for me. I don't have a bunch of max unbinded dragons, but I do have I have max unbinded shinobi. I have a 3 unbinded shinobi. I have a max unbinded juggernaut, and then I have a max unbinded leviathan. But I can't get the clear because stupid Aosu needs me to reset like 50 times to get all the bleeds off, and that really takes a long time. And I just haven't had enough time to really sit down and reset for Mikril Gauntlet to get the clears. The team I've been using is Aosu. Gleo, of course. Gleo. I haven't seen a single clear yet that doesn't use Galacleo. So Galacleo, Ellie, and Alex. So how has your experience been so far, Luck?
So my experience was pretty good. Like you said, I got up to light level 50. I beat the entire mode. It did take a little bit of time. I think I beat it the second or third day. Second day it was out. And I gotta say, this has probably been my favorite Mikril Gauntlet, despite there being a lot of controversy around it and how you almost need Gleo. I've seen one clear without Gleo, but it was very luck orientated, very gimmicky. But my team that I used to clear at level 50 was Iyasu, Elisan, OG Elisan, Gleo, and Alex. So I used two free units and then two limited units. Pretty interesting. I used a strategy involving starting with Elisan, then switching to Iyasu during overdrive, and then switching back to Elisan to use Leviathan to bog, then switching back to Iyasu at the very end for some extra DPS. And yeah, I cut it pretty close, but I was able to get it. The dragons I use a, this is gonna crack you up, Max Unbound Leviathan, of course, a Max Unbound Shinobi, Max Unbound, what's his name, Marishiten, and then I had a 3 Unbound Nyarlathotep, but I was like, no, I want to Max Unbound it, so I used a stone on Nyar for 50%
on Nyarlathotep.
Honestly, the more I looked at Nyarlathotep, like, I'm always so hard on that dragon. He's the best non-limited strength dragon. Foreshadow being 50%.
Yeah, it's kind of sad now that you say
so,
it, but
you know what, I don't even care. I wanted to get the clear, and that extra damage really did help since I only cleared it with like a second remaining. I didn't use any of the Burning Punisher Valentine Ezelith gimmicks. I didn't use any of that, so I really had to rely on high crit luck and high bleed procs, and I was able to get it after a lot of runs. So there you go.
Yeah, so Mercurial Gauntlet's basically a reset fest. That's basically the name of the game for Mercurial Gauntlet. You have to reset a bunch until you get, you know, whether it be crits or bleeds or, you know, whatever the case may be. You got to reset a bunch to get it. So me in specific, what's my plan going to be to clear it? Well, if I can't clear with this team, I'm probably going to end up using a stone on my Shinobi again. I've already used 4 stones to max unbind 1 Shinobi, and then I pulled another 4 Shinobis, and then I'm probably going to have to use another stone on Shinobi. So I'm going to use 5 stones on Shinobi in total, which is pretty Pepe hands. And after Mercurial Gauntlet, we actually got a Dragon Special Banner. Now, if you remember in the future, not in the future, if you remember in the future, that makes a lot of sense, Trip. If you remember the past, the Dragon Specials were actually pretty good banners to summon on. However, this banner is terrible. This banner is probably the worst Dragon Special Banner we've gotten. Even though there's a pretty good unit on it, you know, Cupid. Cupid is the best light dragon at the moment. But even then, Cupid's probably going to be replaced in the future with a light skill damage dragon. And then the other two dragons that are on this banner are actually not too good. I'll let Log actually explain those to you since he has a history with split dragons. So,
This is straight doo-doo. I don't want to see anyone summoning on this banner at all. This sucks. I made a video on this and my thumbnail was literally "this sucks" because it's such a bad... Oh man, like, it's not even good bait. Like, I can't believe they even threw this at me. It's insulting. But the raid ups are Cupid, which is the best by far, like Trip was saying. But there was also Liger and Nidhogg. Just absolutely horrendous dragons. They have no redeeming qualities. They try to be both a mix of HP and strength, and they don't excel in either, so they're useless. There's literally no reason to use them over the high dragon trial equivalents that you get for free within the game, and their actual dragon form DPS is insanely pitiful. So there you go. They're dumb.
Yeah, that's basically sums it all up, and that was not harsh on them at all. That's the truth.
That's
they're terrible.
I mean, like,
they're really...
They're
really
just
bad.
Like, they're just bad. So there
they're
you go.
Just really bad.
Don't summon on this dragon special. And we actually got this the same day, and the day that we're actually recording this episode, High Zodiarc's trial. The last High Zodiarc, or the last High Dragon, is here, and we got some first impressions to talk about it. We both have attempted the fight.
High Zodiarc, I was actually really hyped for this fight. Because Zodiarc's trial, the normal Zodiarc's trial, is actually the hardest trial out of all 5 of them. So I was assuming, hey, High Zodiarc has got to be the strongest High Dragon trial, right? That makes a lot of sense. Right, Log? That makes sense, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah, he's the last one.
Yeah, he's the last one. So it would have to be the hardest one. And then it was released. And then not even like 2 hours later, it was cleared. So yeah, pretty Pepe hands. He's actually a pretty easy fight. There's nothing really crazy in the fight. There's no really mechanics you need to really watch out for. But I do actually enjoy the fight if you play through the entire fight itself. It's a fun fight, and I'm actually happy with the fight overall and being a fun fight. But the disappointing part is that there's currently, I don't know if it's a bug or if this is what they intended to happen. There's a bug where if you like paralyze High Zodiarc, And then I believe it has to be the host, or maybe not the host, but someone runs around him in circles. He just spins in circles and does nothing. And then the other teammates can attack him and kill him.
Yeah, he's got I don't know if it's zero. It's a really low chance because I paralyze him all the time with Albert and stuff. So it should be a pretty low chance. He definitely is susceptible to it, though.
Yeah, so he's susceptible to paralysis, which is really good for light units because a lot of light units have their entire kit based around paralysis, like Yachio, Summer Cleo, Floor. There's a couple other ones that have paralysis built in them. I say built around paralysis. They inflict paralysis, and they can work off of paralysis. So that's kind of the main idea behind those. The trial itself, I actually like it, even though it's already been cheese cleared. I'm not sure if the cheese clear is a bug or what.
Exactly. So that's about it for High Zodiark. Now, we're going to actually end the show off with our topic of the show, our anniversary hopes and predictions. Now, as you guys know, the next episode will be during the anniversary, but I think we should be able to get some hopes and predictions in, maybe put some bets on the line. We'll see. So, Tripp, do you want to state what you would like for anniversary first?
Yeah, so I actually made a whole video discussing this, but kind of the main takeaways from what I wanted for anniversary was, first of all, a really good Gaul unit. We've already had great Gaul units, but I want a really nice Gaul unit. I'm not really sure who it's going to be, but hopefully Yuden or Zethia. It's probably not going to be Zethia. It doesn't really make much sense for her, but maybe Yuden. I don't really know who else it could be. There wasn't really any other big players in the chapter. I mean, Leaf is a possibility, but I don't know. We'll have to see what they want to do with that. Other than, you know, the Gala, which is definitely going to be coming. We just don't know who it's going to be. I would say probably like a new element or a new weapon type. But again, I don't know how they're going to introduce that because the chapter, story chapter 10 is already done, you know?
Exactly. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know either. I have no idea. Do you think we might be getting a, like how much free compensation do you think we're going to be getting?
Ooh, compensation.
Let's take a bet. I'm betting we're going to get, now this is my bet, don't be stealing it now. We're going to be getting 5 tenfold vouchers and 5,000 Wormite.
5 tenfold vouchers and 5,000 Wormite.
That's going to be our
5,000 Wormite is like, that's 4 tenfolds. And then another 5 tenfold tickets.
Exactly. Wow. Or we might get 6,000 Wormite, actually, now that I think about it. So we can just get full 10 tenfolds.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, we already have the countdown bonus, which is 14 summon tickets in total. And that's already extremely generous. And this is just the countdown. So on the actual day of the anniversary, we're probably going to get, I wouldn't be surprised if they do a tenfold every day for like a week.
That'd be
that
awesome.
Would be very nice. I'll take that.
I've heard that Cygames is very generous in their other games for anniversary. I think in Granblue, they have like this roulette where every day you spin the wheel and you can get like tons of crazy things. Like you can get multiple tenfold summon vouchers. You can get tons of just gems and stuff like that. So I mean, I'm hoping for something like that. I'm hoping to get some real nice stuff here for first anniversary.
Yeah, that would be nice. Honestly, a roulette. But at the same time, I feel like a roulette would be a little unfair. There's people who would only get like, 1,000 Wormite total. And then there's other people who would get like 10,000 Wormite total. I feel like that would be a little unfair. But I would like something similar to that where maybe, you know, you can get 500 Wormite or 600 Wormite. You know, it's not a big difference, but you can get like 100 more. You know,
yeah,
that'd
just
be cool.
Incentivizes players to always log in for that day. And I hope that, honestly, I know that anniversary is only going to be particularly one day, but I hope the celebration lasts for like maybe like a week in total into the first week of October. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I would really like that. Like, we do have actually a maintenance literally 30 minutes before the anniversary and lasts until the anniversary actually kicks off. So there's a lot of potential with what they can do. Granted, it's only a 30-minute maintenance, so how much can they really get done in 30 minutes, you know?
Exactly.
But there is potential for something big.
Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty excited for in terms of like, who the rewards we're gonna get. And I do hope that, you know, they did this for the near the 6 month anniversary. Maybe we can get a Dragalia Digest. It was kind of like a Nintendo Direct, but for Dragalia Lost. And I hope we do get that, and maybe they can reveal the next crossover. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, Dragalia Digest would be so nice. We haven't had one in a really long time. It's been definitely at least months.
We've only had one, I think, right?
Oh, we've only had one? Oh my god, I think you're right.
I think
we've
so.
We've only had one.
Yeah.
That was the one with, like, Gala Ranzel and Heimerk, right?
They revealed, the new Gala character was Gala Ranzel, and they also revealed the Fire Emblem crossover.
Wow. Oh, that was jam-packed Dragalia. I would love another Dragalia Digest, honestly, because it's been forever since we've gotten that one. And it was actually really interesting. I really like those.
Yeah, they were good little watches, and I hope that we get another one like that, but... That's pretty much it for my hopes and predictions. We talked a little bit about Gala Yudin. That would be very cool. I don't think we're going to have any, like, event. Maybe? I don't know. Maybe, like, what do you think event-wise?
There's, like, a slight possibility, but I don't think so. I don't think there's enough time, you know? The anniversary is technically 1 day.
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of marketing, I guess, or all the art... official art shown of the anniversary has shown like this cake, so maybe it'll have like a food theme if we have an event. And I swear to god, if we get another raid event, even if it's new, I'm gonna rage. I'm done with raids. I don't want a facility either. I take a facility. Give us something new. Give us a defensive battle.
Oh,
again. Come
what
on,
if
that was so much fun.
What if it's a facility event with the cake as the facility?
Okay, I would like that. Okay, I'd be okay with that, actually.
I would be okay with that. But at the same time, it would have to be like 10 days long.
It would, yeah. And
I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like events in this game can last a little long sometimes. Especially reruns.
Yeah, I agree.
Rerun raid events are the worst.
Yeah, and at the same time, though, it takes a long time for them to actually make all, you know, the events with the script, the art, the voice acting, the, you know, mechanics and everything. So I understand why they want to extend it, but, you know, as a player... It gets kind of annoying when the same event's there for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So I mean, that's pretty much it in terms of our predictions. And that's pretty much it for the show, guys. You want to give us the outro here?
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty much everything. Thank you guys so much for watching. Again, next week's episode for the anniversary will be a special one. So hopefully you're all looking forward to that. It will be on Log's channel. So if you are not subscribed to Log, his links will be down in the description below. Of course, I'll post in the Discord or wherever when it is uploaded in case you miss it or whatnot. But I do recommend you go check it out over there. All the odd number episodes will be on his channel. Yeah, that's pretty much everything. Let me know your thoughts on all the topics that we discussed today, not only the anniversary predictions, but everything we discussed in this video in the comment section down below. And yeah, Log, say goodbye.
Bye.
Have yourselves a great day, and until next time, have a nice trip.